It's getting to be berry picking time. Any of you berry pickers? It's a great joy when you find a good berry patch and one good enough that you can just sit in one place and not move and fill your basket. That's a great joy. I feel like these chapters in John, chapters 15 through 17, are like that. That's where we're picking these weeks following Easter. And we've come to a place in the patch that is more than plentiful enough to fill our baskets. We'll be reading today in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. Let's pray together before we take the harvest of God's Word. Lord, we hunger for just such as you give. Your word of truth, unfailingly given with grace, let us be filled today. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. John 15, beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How do you choose your friends? When we've been somewhere for a while and we have a steady set of friendships, we don't think about such things, but inevitably there comes a season in life when we're in a different place or a different arrangement of schedule, and thus we're surrounded by some new folks, and we have to think through, how am I going to form these relationships? Eric and Sally Tate had just finished grad school. They were hoping to find jobs in the same city. Gratefully, they did. They came to town, having landed jobs with two fine firms. And so they set about trying to decide where to live. And they thought about the usual sorts of things. What will a particular neighborhood mean for our children as they get to school age? And as Christian people, what fellowship would we want to be a part of? So they asked around, asked people's perceptions and check out their options. But then there were some other factors that they didn't speak to others, but only to each other, lest they seem too calculating. Questions like, what part of town would be most advantageous for us professionally and socially? And speaking of which, what church would be most advantageous in those ways? And should we join a club? And if so, which one? Have you ever made such calculations? I bet you have. Maybe not exactly with those kind of criteria, but we all want friends, and we all want the right friends. So what makes friends right? Are they the ones with whose association you are leveraged to greater advantage? Well, that's apparently not what Jesus thought. Look at the friends he chose. Peter and James and John, very ordinary fishermen. He chose Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was anything but popular. Hanging out with Matthew didn't earn him points with lots of people. He chose Simon the Zealot, a revolutionary, the kind of guy who always comes with some kind of trouble attached. He chose Mary Magdalene, a woman who'd been demonized and who had something less than a sparkling reputation. If Jesus were choosing his friends for advantage, he would have done it quite differently than he did. But these were the ones he chose. And so he told them there in the upper room, You're my friends. You did not choose me. I chose you. Now, how would you have taken that? Would you not have seen that as a great honor? Jesus chose me? Well, look around. Look who else he chose. Honor is probably not quite the right word. He seems to choose his friends for their advantage and not his own. And yet somehow, with this group that he gathers, he brings it forward for the advancement of his kingdom. Paul tells us more about this in his letter to the Corinthians. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So hello, my weak and foolish friends. Those are the friends Jesus chooses, and you and I have been handpicked. Now this is a different way of finding friends. He finds friends not so he can gain advantage and extract value, but so that he can give advantage and add value. That's how he chose you and me. We're his hand-picked friends. And he's very plain here about who has the initiative in this friendship. You did not choose me, but I chose you. If you enjoy studying theology, you'll recognize the ring of those words, because they're ones frequently cited by us Presbyterians. We like to emphasize the Lord's role in forming these relationships. So whatever your experience was as a spiritual seeker, however long you sought and however many places you looked, once you've come to know Jesus and you look back on that process, you realize however active you were in the searching, actually you were the one found. He sought you out. And what a huge gift. Jesus sought you out. Christy Way's here this morning. She worships with us. You may know that Christy works for our congressman, Eric Cantor. And Christy tells me that he's not just a good boss, he's a good friend. And I think that'd be fun, being friends with someone important like that. What if I could find a way to have Eric Cantor as a friend, the House Majority Leader? That would feel pretty cool. And maybe I could leverage my relationship with Christy in some way so that I could hang out and make friends with Eric. That would be satisfying. But not nearly so satisfying as if instead of me calling Eric, he called me. Sought me out. Really? Eric Cantor? The Majority Leader of the House called me? Well, gang, you've been called. And not just by the Majority Leader of the House. You've been called by the Lord of the universe. You did not choose me. I chose you. Now that ought to make you stand up straight. You've been chosen by Jesus. And yet chosen not for privilege, but for service. Not just as a servant, but as a friend. He said, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. You get to serve him, but not merely as a servant. He's called you to be his friend. And most of the time, our friends are our peers, but not always. And this is certainly not so with Jesus. When Renee was doing her student teaching, she had two master teachers as mentors. First, she served under Stacy, and Stacy assigned Renee tasks, mostly tasks that Stacy didn't want to do herself or that she knew that Renee couldn't mess up. And their relationship was cordial, and Renee did her best to serve well in Stacy's class. And then Renee served in Leah's class, and Leah also gave Renee various tasks to do. But in addition, Leah went out of her way to make friends with Renee. She shared her ideas with Renee and listened to Renee's ideas. And they discussed life as teachers and life in general. And they became friends. Now, that doesn't mean they were peers. Leah had experience and Renee was a novice. And Leah was clearly the director and Renee was the directed. And yet they were friends. And thus the service that Renee gave in Leah's class was all the more satisfying because Leah was her friend. That's how it works with Jesus. Obviously, he's not our peer. And though we're handpicked to serve him, we do so not simply as servants. We do so as friends. In some ways, it'd be simpler to serve him merely as servants. But he's called us to friendship. It's a higher calling, a more challenging calling. And get this, as Jesus' friends, we have both his counsel and the Father's ear. He says, I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. The counsel that the Son has with the Father, he shares with us. That's pretty amazing. Because we're his friends. And Jesus says, we also have the Father's ear. The Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. They're friends of my Son. I'm listening to what they say. And the promise is that the Father answers. Now that does not make us Jesus' peers, but he did not choose us because we were. He handpicked us because he wanted to befriend us. He values us as friends. He puts value into us as his friends. And thus that makes the service that we render to him all the more rewarding to us. Now this relationship with Jesus is similar in some way to other friendships that you have, and particularly to those friendships that are alive with love. For that's the heart and soul of Jesus' friendship with us. And that's why he joins this talk about friendship with his command to love. He says, I am giving these commands to you so that you may love one another. It's only fitting. He chose us in love and he partners us with others that he loves. And so he says the right way to live in such a company is to love one another. In fact, this is a love that extends even to death, as I will soon show you. The next day he would show them. And speaking of himself, he says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And he's called us to that same fully extended love for each other. That's how broad and deep is his friendship for the kingdom. Wow. This is more than just casual friends or friends that we choose to our own advantage. This is the kind of friendship that Jesus does with us and with all that he calls to himself, calling forth more from us than we even knew we had within us. And get this. There's something about this kind of friendship that's counterintuitive to us. We tend to think that friendship is more special if it's exclusive. If we have just a small circle of our best friends forever, that's the sweetest form of friendship. And it works just the opposite in the kingdom. As the friendship expands, it's not diluted, it's actually deepened. Jesus joins us to himself, he makes us friends, and as the circle of those friends broaden, as others are joined to him, they're joined to us, which actually serves to deepen our friendship with him and each other. C.S. Lewis had a remarkable way of describing this. He, if you know his life, you remember that there was a long season in his life when he met weekly with Charles Williams and J.R.R. Tolkien, Ronald he called him. And they would meet each week at the local pub and they would talk about life and literature and whatever they were writing at the time. Charles was the first of them to die, and Lewis wrote this as he reflected on their friendship. He said, "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never again see Ronald's reaction to a specifically Charles joke." So far from having more of Ronald by having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. In this, friendship exhibits a glorious resemblance to heaven itself, where the very multitude of the blessed increases the fruition which each of us has of God. For every soul, seeing him in her own way, doubtless communicates that unique vision to all the rest. And that, says one of the old authors, is why the seraphim in Isaiah's vision are crying, "Holy, holy, holy," not to God, but to one another. The more we thus share the heavenly bread between us, the more we shall have. It's the transformation of friendship and of love itself. And the only one who can do it is Jesus. We tend to think of love as zero-based entity. If you give more to one, you have less to give to another. Same with friendship. Jesus flips that over. The more he joins to himself and thus with us as his friends, the more the love and the friendship swells to the glory of God. You're his handpicked friends, along with a great company, to his glory and our continually growing joy. Wow, that's great news. Now let's pray. Lord, I guess it's really no surprise that you would do even friendship differently than we do. And we thought we knew love, but you take us so much farther. We want to grow fully as your friends and to overflow with your kind of love so that people will point to you in amazement. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.